chapter 2. Thank you. Again, everything, everybody's back in here. Thank you. Riley, can you put up my slides there? I'll make sure they're clicking. Thank you again. Many of you have been praying for Brother Claunch. Continue to do that. You can see him about different needs that he's had, and we've been praying for him. And he's had just a kind of a string of things, but man, we want to continue to do that and pray for him. Thank you. Thank you so much there for those things. And it does seem odd, I thought about doing a little bit of retrospective this morning, and we ship Allison off in a few days, and so I didn't think I could do that emotionally, but we'll do something like that sometime in August. We'll have a little bit of fun and reminisce. We found some pictures. We did do a little digging. We found some pictures for how we looked and how short Riley was 4 years, 5 years ago. And now he's taller than the rest of us. We're still mad about that. But anyway, we've got some of those. Got some pictures of you. Probably the most stark things, we'll read the text, and if you'll just give me a moment to reminisce. But probably the most stark thing is how different this part of the building looks. When we came, it was white wall to white wall, and there were TVs were give or take 40 inches, so they didn't take up much real estate. There was maybe one or two plants, but they weren't on stage, and it was just a blank wall. And me with my great suntan, I just blended in. There's pictures, and all you can see is my tie and my suit. You know, it's just like one of those guys wearing a green suit up here. And so I'm glad for you all investing and doing a little bit of redecorating. It certainly is appealing. Thank you for that. And so we kind of reminisced, looked through some things, and we enjoyed that. But we'll do that. Thank you. I routinely rehearse in my mind that I am the third pastor here at the church. The church has had a long history of leadership longevity, and I. Purpose not to mess up that string. Longevity gives stability. Stability gives influence. Stability lets you be generational. And so one of the things we prayed, one of the things some of the ladies sitting over here prayed during that transition was, God bring us in. God help us to have young people and teenagers and 20 and 30-something year olds and young couples, etc. And so part of their praying, part of their whole heart when the school met over here at Webb, when the church met over here at Webb School, and then to move to this property was to be able to do that. And our founding pastor, Brother Fender, was right. Knoxville was moving this way and is moving this way just as hard as it can, just as hard as it can. They're putting in a brewery over here by D1, and I thought that's the last thing we need is a bunch of fit, drunk people coming out of D1. So I told Andre, I'm going to go over there and greet him. And then they say, I'm going to give them my card, and then the whole conversation will change. And we are here. I mean, the people just paying exorbitant amounts of money just to live anywhere close to here. And, boy, we want to reach them with the gospel. And that's part of my heart today. So I thought maybe instead of reminiscing so much that we would just look right on our mission and take some cues here from Timothy, Paul's instruction to Timothy here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, again, chapter number 1. Hold your Bible open there. We'll be in that passage a good bit. And I want to talk about your ministry. Your ministry, your one. If we're not very careful, we'll go, ministry is a guy in a suit and a tie. Ministry is a guy in a suit and a tie as a wife. Ministry is for other people and not for me. And that just could not be any further from the truth. One of the things we do in our one-on-one discipleship is we encourage you to take a spiritual gift test and just see what are the things maybe God has blessed you with in a way that you could bless the church and bless our church. And so we want to do that. And so I want to help you this morning. I want to do a little bit of rehearsal, a little bit of rejoicing, and then I want to give you three great principles here from this passage. I want to remind you, we started off 2019. I suggested to you that God wants us to tell the story. God wants us to tell His story. We're narrowly focused here. We do that on purpose. We want to make sure that we're about what God wants us to be about. By the way, that's the whole point of 1 and 2 Timothy, is that you make sure that you're on track with the gospel. You make sure that you're on track with preaching and the declaration of how great God is and how wonderful is His love to men and to women. And so we want to do that. We've kind of had a little fun with that. we went basically four directions. We said, and if you're on your notes app there, you can look at this. We said, number one, we think God wants to tell the story inside the church. I think it's criminal for people to attend church years and years and years and to still be babies in Christ, to still be infants in their understanding of the Scripture. I believe we're called to do more than that. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, go ye therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations. I'm for making converts, but we are to what? We are to help them to understand the Bible, help them understand the Bible. Andrea, to a person, and the ladies that she's gone through have said, I have no idea why there was two sections of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. For the first time in my life, that makes sense. That's no slack on any of the ladies that's been there with Andrea. That is a slack, and that's a fault on us. It's a fault on us. We've not even taught some of these basic things. And we'd be surprised. That's why, the way, I think that's why so many times when they poll the church, everybody still with me? When they poll the church, when they poll the younger people in the church, they just line up just like unsaved people on social issues. On social issues. You mark it down. If we don't get back to discipling people one-on-one or in a group, if we don't get back to teaching the Scripture and letting it become part of the conviction of our lives, we're going to be in trouble. We're to tell the story inside the church. We made a radical change in 2018. We changed some things we were doing. I am a huge believer in children's programs on Wednesday night. And our children's program on Wednesday night had turned into basically free babysitting. And we'd have anywhere from 8 to 18 and a bunch of rowdy kids looking for a good time and a snack and mom and dads. And we could not reach those parents, no matter who went to see them, no matter how bad we begged them. And so we said, you're still welcome to come, but we've got to take that time and do something else with it. And by the way, I think we made the right decision, although I hated it. The decision was on the table for 6-8 months before I ever got comfortable with it. Why? Because we got to disciple people. We've got to disciple people. And when people are working at night, people got families and jobs, and we need some time. And so we're using that time on Wednesday night. We're using that time during the week. And I mentor some people on Monday, some people on Tuesday. I mentor another person usually on Thursday. We do that. Sometimes on Saturday. I say, why in the world would you do that? Because I believe that making disciples is one of the purposes of the church, and we're to tell the story that way. We tell the story outside of the church. Tell the story outside the church. You find your one. This is evangelism. This is evangelism. Find your one. Find somebody that you can love on and pray for. I don't remember a whole lot about Wednesday night, just a lot of water under there. But I remember how happy I was, just about everybody in the room going, pray for this person. I don't know if they're right. Pray for this person. Some of them were nodding at me, and I knew who they were praying for. They were praying for family. They just want to call their name out. Man, we need somebody that we're burdened about. How many of you watch the news, read the newspaper, you read your news online, and you go, these people are crazy. I live in a crazy world. The world has gone bananas. Anybody said that in the last 2 or 3 months or, looking at TV? Nobody? I'm going to come live at your house then. I had to quit watching so much news. My blood pressure was going crazy. I'm just as mad as fire sitting in the chair looking at strangers telling me what's going on in the world. And Andre's like, you got to quit doing this. I'm like, quit doing what, woman? And we had to calm down a little bit. It's easy to scream with the darkness, but it takes a little effort to spread some light, doesn't it? It takes a little effort to spread some light. The reason they act the way they do is because they need Jesus. The reason they do the things they do is because they need Jesus. Jesus changes hearts. Jesus changes life. Man, if I just get them, Jesus, they just repented of their sin. Tell the story outside the church. This is one of those things we like to talk about. Allison's last weekend, or I start back school Monday. Our kids, they wanted to do something. We didn't end up getting away at all this year. So they said, we want to go to Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg. I'm not from here, but I got enough sense from y'all that you stay away from up there during the summer. That's a crazy place up there. People are nuts. There's lots of Yankees up there, and they don't know how to drive. I'm teasing. And I looked at Donnie, I said, we want to do what? And we want to go to Gatlinburg. And on a Saturday in the summer, well, school's back. Not for everybody. And so we went up there, just us and a couple of me and of our closest friends, and about lunchtime yesterday and did some things. And one of the things we did was we ate what we wanted to. Anybody ever done that? It's like Christmas. You just eat what you want to. Tomorrow you may die. Anybody ever had that attitude? Okay, some of you are like, that's a Monday. That's not an attitude. And we went by this place, and they had fudge. And, when you get fudge, you get free samples. You still with me? And so I was like, I'm going to get something free. I went in there and got something. It was okay. And this lady walked up to me and said, would you like a free, was it praline? And I went, you had me at free. And she offered me, it was warm. She just cooked this deal. It was still warming. And I put one in my mouth and went, I'm leaving here with one of those. And Andrea and Allison had gone to pick up something and around the corner. And so when it came in, I said, you got to try this. Oh, this is wonderful. So we got three of them. We got three of them. So it was four of us. Riley got bacon and chocolate. And he had his. We had our praline. And we ate this. And I hear a voice. And I don't remember if it was Allison or Andrea going, I'll start doing better tomorrow. Right? And I got praline in my beard. And they're talking about going back on a diet and eating well tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And somebody hand me a comb and give me the rest of that praline. And, you know, that's the way we are, isn't it? That's the way we are about evangelism. You know, I'm going to do that tomorrow. That'd be good for somebody else to do. Yeah, I know we're not really doing, look right at me. I know we're not really doing what we're supposed to. And I know I hadn't invited anybody in a while. I know I hadn't talked to anybody. I know I got family. Man, they're going to spend, and we just talk about it like we talk about that. We got praline stuck in her hair. We got praline stuck in her teeth. And we're just talking about eating right. And I want to tell you, you need to tell a story outside the church. You need to find your one. God's got somebody in your life, in your path, that you need to talk to about him. We need to tell the story of the world missions. One of the reasons we do what we do here, and we plan things out. And I have had, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 guys, man, I want to come to your church this fall. And I have said, no, you can come this spring, because we spread it out, because we want them to come. We want you to feel the burden of what they're doing. And we want to be able to financially support them. We'd rather have a few guys that are a little better than a whole bunch of guys at $5. We just don't want to do it. But we have an obligation to tell the story to the world. This summer, when things were a little really tight and all, what we did was we paid our bills. That's a witness to the outside world. Then we paid our mission. Missions, because we must invest in missions, because that's what God's heart is. And then we took care of everything else. We're to tell the story to the world. We're to tell the story of God's work in your life. There ought to be a ready testimony from the most outgoing to the most introverted. And I'm glad what God's doing. I'm glad what God's doing. Whether that's a series of emojis or that's you being able to tell. It's a crazy thing. We can be happy about a good haircut. We can be thrilled about a good deal on something. If we get a bad experience, we'll tell the whole world. We ought to be able to tell, man, God's working in my heart and God's working in my life. Our four themes this year have been that. Our four themes this year have been that. And truthfully, for 5 years, those have been our themes. We haven't called it that all the time. But it's been about what? It's been about discipleship. It's been about evangelism. It's been about missions. And it's been about growth. It's been about growth. Every now and then somebody say, you guys expect too much at your church. And I say, that's not true. We expect a lot of our members. But then they ask to be members and they agree to what we've asked them to do. I don't know we expect too much. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself and follow me. I ain't asked anybody to die. I don't really feel like I'm even very biblical, amen. You know, when you start asking people to die, then I think you're getting a little more biblical here. Why? What about this? God saved you. God changed you. God is changing all these things that are going on, and you are trusting him. So with all that in mind, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've thought, again, I've been a little hesitant to reminisce. Daughter going back off to college. We won't see her till November, more than likely. 10 days from now will be the anniversary of my stepfather's death. Again, basically the grandfather to my children. My dad had passed some years before. So I hesitated being a little too reminiscent. Everybody with me? Because I get going down that road, I get teary and I get all emotional. I turn into an old woman sitting there staring at a picture. I don't want to do that. No offense to anybody here. I don't want to get. I'd rather be strong and courageous. I'm being silly. Really am. How you do? How you keep on going? How you keep on going through the ups and downs? I mean, how you keep on going when it doesn't seem like anybody's listening to you and you witness to them, you talk to your family? How do you do that? How you do that when it's not obvious what's going on? I'm glad you asked. Paul here writes, this is his second letter we have recorded for us to Timothy. This is the young man, give or take 30 years of age. He has traveled with Paul. He has known some hardships. He's known enough hardships. Paul's going to start off here saying to him, hey, I want you to be strong. That's verse number one. Verse number one. Thou therefore, my son, not physical son, but spiritual son, be strong in the grace, the enabling that is in Christ Jesus. As in, be strong. Be strong. Take courage. Take courage. Overcome your drift for weakness and renew your commitment to Christ and His church. Be strong. Be strong. You know what I'd say to us at year five of your third pastor, start of year five? You know what I'd say to us as we launch out into the fall of 2019, as we go forward for King Jesus, as we go forward in a crazy political scene and an unbelievably upset cultural scene, when we are surrounded by thousands of churches with an average attendance of 28 to 29, as we go into a community that statistically in 2013, 2014, Lifeway Research said 8 out of 10, 82% don't attend any house of worship on any given Sunday. That's from Farragut this way. Even if they're wrong, it's 6 out of 10. You pass home after home after home of people hadn't even rolled over out of bed, by the way. And many of them would claim to know Christ but have no fidelity to the Word or to His house and could not be picked out of a lineup and be accused of being guilty of being a believer. What do you do? Be strong. Be strong. That's personality. Read it again. Finally, my son. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Where's your strength come from? Jesus Christ. Where does your strength come from? Jesus Christ. Be strong. Be strong this way. Take courage. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. We find the path of least resistance. Anybody here good at that? I want to find the path of least resistance. I can fold the clothes, or I just can leave them there and then get dressed out of the pile of clothes. That would be the path of least resistance. Anybody know anybody like that? I can do that. I can rake up the leaves, or I figure at one point the worms will eat the leaves. And it'll be good compost, the path of least resistance. I continue to joke and say, our grass is growing so fast, I'm going to buy some goats. And that would be the path of least resistance, right? Let the goats get full, and we'll quit having to mow the grass and all. My son's back there going, amen and hallelujah. And but the HOA won't let it happen. And we need to do these things. Be strong. That means I look squarely at the battle ahead. And I go, well, you know what my reserve is? My strength? It's in God's grace. God's grace. What Christ did for me on the cross. Again, my definition. What I need and desperately do not have that Christ has provided through His death and resurrection on the cross. I think that's grace. It's at least a gift. It is the enabling of God. It is that which I lack desperately and do not have and can't manufacture on my own. God, I need Your grace. You want to keep at it and keep telling the story every morning, every day. God, I need You and Your grace. Be strong. Be strong. How can I be strong? Because He's the overcomer. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He is building a home or a room for me in the Father's house. He is right now the soon coming King and the everlasting Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the already victor. He is the one who is the supreme Lord of lords and King of kings. And when He gives me strength, it is enough. Be strong. Be strong. Renew. Renew. Not only renew, but remember. Remember. You're there, verse 2. And the things which you've heard among me, among many witnesses, remember. Remember what you've been taught. I think it's criminal. I think it's criminal. I work, give or take, 10, 15, 20 hours, depending on what's going on for the different times I'll speak in a week. Most of the time, half my week. We'll add to that a lot of administrative things and then visits, and then family and whatnot, school running around. My schedule will change a little bit, and I'll study a little differently. But my week's given to that because it takes me a while. I'm not real fast. I'm slow. I want to study it. Then I want to make sure I communicate it. There's slides to build. There's the app to fill out. There's stuff online, etc. No worries. No problem. No big deal. Here's what's criminal. We'll do this. We'll watch this. We'll listen to this. We'll have it available for us on the app. And then, just like a great meal at a fine restaurant, we will forget all about it by the time we hit the car. We don't come to church to make a decision. We don't come to church to be changed. We come to church to get to the end of it. And the quicker we get to the end of it, seems like the better the service is. He says, you're to remember, to rehearse. Rehearse the things that you have been taught. Rehearse the things that God has done in your life. Rehearse the doctrine that I've taught you and the principles that I've taught, the philosophy that I've taught you. Remember the things that you have learned of me. That goes back to our discipleship, by the way. It's hard to teach somebody something from afar, man. We got to get close up to them. Life on life. That's why we love classes and we love groups and we love the one-on-one deals of discipleship. Man, I need somebody investing in me and me investing in them. And I need the Word taught to me and I need the Word rehearsed in me. And I need to have that. And we go week to week and we fast from the Scripture and we fast from all these things. It's hard to remember anything. Remember anything. Some of you, by the way, that was the turning point in your life when you said, you know what, I was thinking about as a teenager. I was thinking about as a 20-year-old. I was thinking about then. And God really just got a hold of my heart and stirred that spark again in me. Remember. Rehearse what you have been taught. Why? Why should you do that? So you can reproduce. So you can reproduce. It's not original with me, and I don't know who it's original with. I have heard it all my teen life and adult life. I have read it attributed to many people. I don't have a clue, but I like it. He says, and commit thou to what? Same, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In that passage, there's four levels there. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men to other people. There should always be generational discipleship and generational evangelism in any healthy church. Somebody say amen to that, by the way. Should always be. It's never God's will for be a bunch of gray-headed people and that's all you see. Never God's will, by the way, to be just a bunch of 20-something-year-olds. To be generational. You're committing to other people. You're committing to other people. You find faithful men, you invest in them, and then they invest in others. They invest in others. For 10 years, at least, I did a lot of church consulting. I had people come in, typically a crowd of older men, maybe one or two younger guys in there, and they would spell it out for me, hand me financial sheets, and they were looking for a pastor usually, and they'd heard that I could help them a little bit, and so I'd do that, and I'd look at them, and without fail, all those situations, all those phone calls, they would always say, and we turned around, and we don't know how we got here. We were doing well, and we looked, and there's nobody left. And there's no young people left, and we don't know how we got here. If it wasn't for the ladies, we wouldn't have a church, because men won't do anything. Over and over and over, different ways, different shapes, different sizes. These churches would say as they lamented, help us, help us, help us, help us. He already did help us. We'd be reproducing. We'd be reproducing. See, everybody needs a Paul. They need somebody who's investing in them. Everybody needs a Barnabas, somebody walking beside of them and encouraging them and exhorting them and a friend and a buddy. And everybody needs a Timothy, somebody you can invest in, somebody you can invest in. Well, I have encouraged and tried my best with Mr. Glaspie and want to continue that and say, man, you need to at this stage of your life, man, in this point, in this place, man, I would be honored. Do my best to invest in you. You need somebody to invest in you, and let me help you. You need to be investing in somebody. You need to be investing in somebody. And I need somebody investing in me. That is the point of the local church. That is the heart of ministry. Somebody says, ministry is lonely. It is with the attacks. It is sometimes with all that's going on. Ministry doesn't have to be lonely. If you've got a Paul and you've got a Timothy and you've got a Barnabas to walk beside of you, it can be very fulfilling. But we are to be reproduced. Let me ask you a question. Where are you getting your strength from to serve Christ? Are you really doing your best to invest in the Word? And who are you following and who's following you? Who are you investing in? Everybody here is a product of somebody. You need to reproduce. And he gives representatives, you'll listen, I got about 3 minutes. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier. He said, no man strives for the mastery unless he does so lawfully. And then finally he says about the farmer or the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. In other words, you've got to have been grown up to start with. He says, if you don't like renew and remember and reproduce, let me help you here with three pictures. Act like a soldier. Tony Evans, a wonderful African-American preacher, said it so well. He said, if you were in a foxhole and the enemy was across the way and they were firing at you and you went and fell down into a puddle of tears saying, those people are being mean to me, they're shooting at me, your people in your foxhole would smack you around and laugh at you and say, what'd you expect, man? It's a war. It's a battle. He said, sometimes we get all bent out of shape because somebody takes a shot at us. He said, we need to remember that we're soldiers in the Lord's army and this is a battle and there'll be some people that don't like us because of the stand we take. Hopefully, because of our position, not disposition. Disposition, that's our fault. Position, it's we're being faithful to Christ. But man, be a soldier, endure hardness. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to be easy. Endure, buck up. I'm amazed at people, the least little thing. The least little thing. Man, they're toast. They're toast. He's passed away now, but I had a brother in Christ. He went to Bible college. He graduated. He preached his first sermon. His first sermon, somebody walked out, said something smart to him, and he, 4-year degree, believe God called him into ministry, and he said, that's it, and he painted the rest of his life. It was one thing. I quizzed him on. I couldn't believe the story. He, in a roundabout way, owned up to it. This was it. By the way, just about kept his own family out of the Lord's family because he was so bitter, because somebody had just stupidly offended him. His son and extended family doing well now, but that was a big deal. Man, you understand you are a soldier. You understand you are a soldier. You understand you're an athlete. There's some discipline. There's some sweat that has to happen to it. And you got to put in some things. I always say, man, if everything looks great on Sundays, because there's a whole lot of work going on during the week. It takes some work. And it's going to take some work. Man, you're going to grow in Christ. It's going to take some work in the Word. It's going to take some work that's there. Man, you're to be an athlete. Wait for it. You're to be a farmer. You're to be a farmer. My dad was the youngest of 4 brothers. Look right at me. I'm done. When he turned 18, he ran as hard as he could to the military. The brothers asked him why. He said, anything's got to be better than farm life. He was tired of his mom telling him what to do, so he joined the military. That was not a wise move. And a few years later, he finished up. He and my mom were married. Dad came back. He stayed. My grandmother had a sharecropper's house. He stayed there for a little while. As soon as he could, he got going. He said, said the farm was too much work. It was too hot. He watched his brothers do that. He worked his summers and his afternoons with that. He said it was too much work. He said, farming is tough. If he got mad at my brother or I, he would send us to our uncles for the morning or the afternoon as children. Send us out there and let us hoe potatoes or pull weeds out of the cotton or go out there and just see how many kinds of critters there were in the corn. And we would come back with whole new attitudes about folding clothes and doing dishes at our house. It was a wonderful curative for our bad attitudes. Thankfully, we learned pretty quickly and we didn't do that too much. But I remember more than one time coming home going, I don't want to do that anymore. Especially when they were riding around in air-conditioned tractors, we were out there in the rows hoeing and stuff like that. Look right at me. Man, we just had better this, better that. Some of that's true. Some of ministry is just hard work. It's hard work getting here on time. It's hard work folding the book. It's hard work. It's hard work going out to your neighborhood sometimes and saying, hey, I'm just praying for you. I'm going to leave you a little door hanger, man. We'd love to invite you to come be with us. Sometimes it's just work, and then there's harvest later on. And there's harvest later on. Why do we do things like we're talking about doing, having a trunk or treat here in the fall, and we had 300 plus here for Easter weekend and all that. Why do we do that, man? Because we sow and then we reap. We sow and then we reap. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes time. I leave you with these. I will gather my strength from Jesus to serve him each day. Be strong in the Lord, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong. I'll gather my strength from him. I'll gather my strength from him. I will not be offended that it's hard, because I know it's a battle. I know it's a battle. It's a battle. You going to take a stand for what's right and do what's right? And man, it's just, might as well just mark it down. I don't mean I'll like it that it's hard, but it's a battle. It's a battle. I have all these online this afternoon. And then I will labor, knowing that the harvest is worth the effort. I thought about this all week. I thought about the young people made a decision at camp. that was sowing and reaping. That's harvest. That's harvest. How many of you think it's worth every strand of spaghetti we served on Wednesday night that those young people got to go to camp and the three of them made a profession of faith in Christ? How many think it's worth every noodle that we served? Amen? Man, it's worth every effort, worth every effort. Some of you, man, came to Christ because somebody wouldn't leave you alone. Some of you came to Christ because some of these ladies over here sat down and helped mail out 5,000 pieces of mail to this end of the county, and people got it and said, hey, come learn about the Bible. And they showed up. They showed up for early class at Webb School, and they learned as they walked through the Bible in 52 lessons. They did that. It's worth every bit of effort. And I will labor. The harvest is worth it. And we don't give up. Keep going. 5 years, kicking off our fifth year. Family's different. Building looks different. Congregation different. Mission's the same. We're going to tell the story inside the church, outside the church, tell the story of the world. We're going to tell the story of our own growth. We're going to do all this because we're soldiers. We're going to do all this because we're athletes. We're going to do what it takes to excel. We're going to do this as a farmer. It's hard work, but it's okay. Because the harvest is worth it, and the harvest, by the way, honors Christ. It honors Him. Your heads are bowed.